Hello, everybody. My name's Rick Sutley. I'm an Elkie. And this has been a real pleasure for me. It's really, really helped me a lot to relearn and reemphasize things in the steps that I might have forgotten. And so it's been really good for me. I don't know how it's been for you guys, but for me it's been pretty darn good. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. They were pretty specific. They were spelling it out. And, you know, last week I said that the reason I did the fourth step was because you guys told me to. You know, I couldn't think of a better reason. It was seemed obvious that I should follow instructions. And even though I didn't want to do it, I did it. And I kept that baby in my wallet. And my sponsor at the time, he was getting a little ill. And he finally told me, he says, you should get someone else so you can go over that fifth step. And I found a guy, said he'd be willing to listen to my fifth step. He said, where are you comfortable at? I said, I love being outdoors. I have a hunting spot. And he said, well, let's go out there. He parked his car, got settled in, and he said a prayer. I don't remember which prayer, one of them. And that's how we started. And then he said to me, let me tell you something about me. And he shared something with me that seemed very out of character for him. We do things that are out of character for normal human beings, you know. And it really helped put me at ease to know that he was up to no good too. I started out a little slow. I didn't know how to do this. I was reading through all my stuff and trying to spell it out as clearly as I could. And it was a pretty thorough list, probably more than I needed to do. But I was told, no, it's never too much. Get it all out. I was told that we're only as sick as our secrets, and that by sharing them, not only with God, who already knew, I already did all that stuff, admit it to myself, I must say it's a humbling experience to sit with somebody and swallow hard and get started. And, you know, time, I don't know how long it took, but we were there a while. And last week I talked about there were certain things that weren't going on that list. I had drew the line, you know. There was a couple of things that I just wasn't going to talk about. And I knew that the book told us if you aren't thorough, your sobriety will be precarious. And in the back of my mind, I knew that I was going to have to tell someone those things. And when we got down to the end, I was going through as much as I had written down, and he said, is there anything else? What the hell is he asking that for? That list was pretty good, you know? No, he says, one more. Is there anything else that you want to share? And I was only able to say no. And as luck would have it, it was probably 4 months later, I went to a retreat at Glenodo, and there was he was either a priest or an ex-priest as our retreat master. And the one thing on Saturday afternoons, he had said, if you want to do your fifth step, stop on over. I know other people showed up, and I don't know that it was easier telling him, but I was able to tell him the things that I was holding back, that I wasn't ready to tell somebody else that knew me a little bit. I had fear. I never realized how much fear I had. And I found out that at the conclusion, which is how I try to do it, going through somebody with the step, is to close it with a prayer, kind of like we do at a meeting. And first thing he did was, he goes, give me that list. You know, there they go. He pulled out a great big ashtray from underneath the seat. And he said, and they burned up. And I thought, wow, that's great. There they go. You know, it's. And then I realized a little bit later, that would have been nice to hang on to for the 8th and 9th. Because then I had to do more work. Wasn't I a complainer? But when we were done, he said, now, go home, open the big book, look up right to the end of step 5, and it'll tell you a few things. And I actually felt, I don't know if guilty is the word, but I was uncomfortable knowing that I wasn't able to get it all out. But in the book, it tells us that it's better to get a beginning than to do nothing at all. And so I found that very assuring. And he says, when you find somebody, and he mentioned clergy, and I was able to share with him things that up to that point I had never told anybody. I was as thorough as I could be at that point in my sobriety. My honesty wasn't, you know, all the way up there. I was still working on that. And what I recognized as time went on, oh, I forgot all about that. I'll have to tell somebody about that. And then, you know, maybe 5 years later, there'd be something from my past that just popped in. Maybe hearing somebody lead. And what they said, it reminded me, oh, I did that stupid stuff too. And God was kind to me. He allowed me to find that person and get through there. He didn't laugh or anything about the kind of things I was describing. And he was comforting. At the end, he said, God forgives you. I don't know how he knew that, but that was good to hear. God forgives you. So when I do a fifth step with somebody I'm working with, I don't burn her written down fourth step. start out with a prayer, tell them something about myself that might surprise them, because I was such a good character now. And they always said, you know, if you're a character, it doesn't mean you have character. You guys have sayings for everything. It's just amazing. But the nagging thought of those things I was holding back, it was just like this week. Day of reflection, yesterday and today, talking about the fifth step. Whew. You know, that was just a coincidence that that happened like that. I can't wait to see what day of reflection is for next week. Step six, you know. That's asking for too much. But that was a difficult task. It was difficult writing it down. But I believe it was even more difficult to say it out loud to someone. When I was younger, even before I started drinking, I was a Catholic, and I'd go to confession, and I was half-assed honest. I didn't want to have to say too many prayers. I did the best I could at that point. And this, it reminded me of like a confession. And somewhere in the book it talks about it's an ancient discipline that it's good for us to be rid of what we're hanging on to so tightly. And hearing words of other people like, if you want to be free, I didn't know what they were talking about as free, then you need to do this step. I got a lot of advice. People in AA love to give advice. Not always asked for either. And I always cherish a moment when someone says to me, will you listen to my fifth step? The first time, I was in a bit of a trance. It was stunning. There's someone else telling me their story, their things, who pissed them off, how do they treat people. I had already done that, but it was stunning to hear from another person. And I had a little coaching from when I did my fifth step, how to start out, say a little prayer, kind of put things at ease a bit, tell him something about myself that he might find peculiar, and then let him get to it. And at the end, just like the guy who did it for me, is there anything else? And, you know, we have that look like when, you know, we weren't entirely honest. My wife can pick up on that really quick. People in AA can pick up on that too. And I, just like that guy did for me, is there anything else? He was giving me every opportunity to say those things that I just didn't want to tell him. Today, I don't do like a recitation of my fifth step when I give a lead, because that'd be ugly. You know, I heard some people, it seemed as though during their lead they were actually telling us step by step what they did, and, you know, the privacy. It was a bit uncomfortable listening to someone spill their guts And the things that I was holding back, that I told that priest a few months later, I share in my lead now. Like, you know, this is my story. This is, and they were very important things. One of them was about the day I almost killed my wife. It was during the summertime. We were on strike. When I got home, she had locked, bolted, hooked the door. And it was summertime. I passed out on the glider. That's the last thing I remember. She told me later that in the morning, I remember me? And she goes, she opened the door only a little bit. She still had the chain on. And she says, you're not going to come in here and argue, are you? Oh, I guess I told her no. I guess I lied. And I don't remember that. The last thing I remember is I'm laying on the glider. My wife refreshed my memory. But this is what it came to. During the course of that argument, I was in a blackout. I didn't even know what a blackout was. I just knew, how the hell did I get here? I had my hands around my wife's throat, and she was struggling, her face was red. My daughter was over here kicking me and hitting me and hollering, and it was just like I woke up. What the hell am I doing? I've heard so many stories about people that did things when they were in a blackout that they're in jail for. And the fact that they say they can't remember it, I could have easily been in that boat. And I started telling that story. And I wanted to stay sober. One of the little tricks I learned, it's not a trick, it was advice, says if you ever think that you want to pick up a drink, look back over your past and see what was the worst thing you ever did. And I had a lot of things to choose from. But it was the day that I had my hands wrapped around my wife's neck. It was the worst. And they said, remember, if that thought slips in, remember where you're going to go back to. Just one drink and you're going to go back there. You're going to become that animal. And I guess that would be an adequate description of me when I was drunk. I was acting on instinct. There was no rational thought when you're drunk as a skunk. And I used that a lot. Not that I felt like drinking, but sometimes when my thinking would go a little haywire, if the Serenity Prayer didn't work, I remembered where I came from. I came from a place that could have ended up a hell of a lot worse. And there's another story, which I was embarrassed as hell. I'm not telling anybody this. But you guys kind of draw that stuff out. You almost embarrass people to do the right thing. And I'll be quick on this. I was drinking. I was on the east side of Erie. I was at Duck Inn, 8th and Brandis or something. They had a big sign in there, Duck Inn, wobble out. How appropriate. But I was a bar hopper. I wouldn't say one bar the whole time. I like to get in a car and do a few things, kind of get me up. Now, I'm on my way to Shaggy Dog Tavern. I'm on East 6th Street, and I'm at a red light, right by the National Guard Armory. And I thought I was going to do a little snort. On my console, on a cassette tape, not an 8-track, I got it ready. And the light changed. And this is how drunk and high I was. I thought I could drive that car, put that straw in my nose, go down there, be right back up. It didn't work very well. Who wants to tell people that story? That's how I got to AA. That accident and God working in my life. So what do you think, Rick? Might you have a problem? And that may not have much effect on anybody else, but it had a lot of effect on me. And I was so embarrassed about these things that I didn't spill the beans when I made my first attempt at the fifth step. And they knew who they were working with, because they said, you know, if you're not comfortable sharing everything, you can find somebody else and share the rest. And that's exactly what I did. And you know what? It felt good. The day of, at that retreat, retreats always make you feel pretty good. And after I did the rest of my fifth step, the rest of that weekend was just better than ever. And I like to remember that, how good it felt that I wasn't carrying around. Now, there was still stuff back there, but stuff I couldn't remember. But like I said, when it pops up, I'm able to talk to someone and say, I need to tell you this. And if they say it doesn't take much willpower to do things in AA, that fifth step took everything I had to be open with somebody, to tell them, because they told me again and again, and in the book they said, be thorough and be honest. You guys really stress that stuff. They said something like, if you don't do this step, your sobriety would be tenuous. You weren't sure if you would stay sober. And that worked on me until I got rid of the rest of it. I'm really winging it tonight. I have nothing prepared. But that comes with experience. You know, I can write stuff down, and people don't want to hear all the words. The words are in the book. Resentments, fears, self-pity, selfishness, self-centeredness, and it goes on and on. That was all the air I had, so that was it. And what I started to realize was I was doing what was requested of me, and I wasn't fighting it. You know, when I went home, they say, look back over, how'd you do on your first five steps? Well, that particular day, I didn't have that clear conscience because I still had that few things. So I don't know that I felt really wonderful. But the day I finally spilled the beans on other things, there was a sense of relief. And then when I got home and I pulled out the big book, and it says, you know, look back over. How did you do it? Have you skimped on anything? You know, things like, did you use sand to make mortar? I was ready to start step six. That's what those words led me to. Only after I finished up with, you know, and I'm a firm believer. I know people are honest as hell when they get up here. But I just, my opinion, that some things just shouldn't be shared from the podium. Deeply personal. You tell it to your sponsor. You don't have to say, oh, I had sex with animals or something. Which I never did. At least that I remember. And the fifth step is supposed to be serious. And I wrote something down. The object of coming here is to live free, not die sober, although that's a nice goal too. That's not the point. Freedom. I'm free from alcohol. I'm free from, which I didn't know, that stuff weighs on us. Our past, the things we did, the things we never thought we would tell somebody. But when you get rid of them, there comes a sense of, that was something. And I thoroughly agree, that was something. Little tidbits. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I did. The big book was written in 39. There's some people in here that might have been born in 39. AA started in 35. Big book was 1939. It took until 1973 before the millionth copy of the big book was sold. And I thought, wow, that took a long time to hit a million. And what I seen in the history of AA was that from 1973 to 1978, another million were sold. So this was gaining some momentum. And then by the date might be wrong, early in the 80s, they hit 3 million. So you could, man, it must have really started that word of mouth thing that people say, hey, if you're that bad, you know, maybe you ought to try this. And that book is still one of the most amazing books I've ever read. And I really like the foreword for the first edition when they wrote down, we of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how they can recover is the main purpose of this book. You know, that is such a distinct couple of sentences. You can't make much mistake about it. That's why they wrote this book, to help us. I was born in 54, so AA was already almost 20 years old. Of course, I didn't hear of AA until my arrival. just never heard it. And I was stunned to find out that there's a group of people that stay sober on purpose. I couldn't figure for the life of me, why would they do that? And as I found out, you know, as they say, the rest is history. I've been very blessed. I kept saying that I was the luckiest guy. I was so lucky that this stuff was happening to me, which really was contrary to what my first week and month, 2 months was. I didn't think this was a gift or anything. I thought this was a curse. But as I found out, if you want to be happy and sober, be thorough and honest. And for a lawyer like me, that was quite a tall order. I'm so glad that we live in this age when books like these are available and that still help us today. I can't even describe. It's like miraculous. Those words coming off the pages just inspired me, and still do. That they would do that. And here we were, you know, so many years later. And today, there's been 30 million copies of the big book sold. So we've come a long way. At least a few people have read it. And that has nothing to do with the fifth step. But it's my time, so. Aren't I terrible? Okay. I'd like to thank everybody for listening.
Sorry, I put a coin.
That's all right. Thank you.
Anybody got any questions for him?
Oh, I already brought him. I can't even see him.
Mr. Rick,
Mr. Jim,
how often and how many times do we do the fifth step?
As often as we think we need to, or as often as our sponsor thinks we need to. And that was one of the benefits of these tapes. I listened to Jim's full 12 steps, and that it told me that there was things that I should have done but I didn't do. And I have mentioned that we need to get together, and these things are minor compared to my previous fifth step. I shouldn't say minor either, because that stuff could still bother me. So that's the best I can say, Jim.
I got one more thing. You and I, we were doing a fifth step in the woods one day, and a deer walked right up to us, a buck. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, and I think you said, God's here, or something like that. That was a real spiritual moment. Thanks for sharing. Bring back a lot of memories.
Thank you, Jim. See, now I got goosebumps.
I said that last time. Hey, Bruce, can you find the clock down
there? Yeah, I don't know what happened to the clock. Thanks again, Rick. I really appreciate you doing this. I'm glad that, you know, you're getting a lot out of it yourself, as I think all of us are. A couple of similarities, you know, I got sober on the West Coast, and a lot of the things that you discussed about how your sponsor approached your fifth step were pretty much a carbon copy of the way I did it. So, you know, that's that always reminds me of how connected we really all are.
Indeed.
And when you're doing, you mentioned that you don't burn that four step with the person. So, and you mentioned that you shared some of the things that you couldn't share with your sponsor with another person.
Yes.
Did you ever eventually share that with your sponsor?
Not all of it. That's just as honest as I can be.
Well, that's...
I just felt that at that point, and even at this point, I just thought some of that stuff was so, I don't know if personal is the right thing, but it was very personal to me. And I was told, you don't have to bear your soul up here. There's a time and a place for sharing those types of things. And that was the decision I made, and I'm completely comfortable with it.
Good. And then when you're working with people and then you give them that question like we all got at the end, is there anything else that you have had? When you did that with some sponsees, did they come back at you later and say, oh?
Some have, relatively quickly, not right then and there, but you could see that little bit of tormented look on their face, that they knew that there was other stuff, but it just wasn't coming out that day.
Do you ever go back and revisit that with people? Like, say, after their, you know, you do your six and your seven step, and do you ever ask, like, have you shared something with somebody else that you haven't shared with me? Is that relevant to you as a sponsor?
To share with somebody,
In other words, like when you said I couldn't share this with my sponsor, I shared it with another individual. Did you let your sponsor know that that was true, or was that just between you and the priest or whoever?
No, I was... You guys really got me with this honesty thing. I thought a little overboard on that, but... other than relaying some stuff to that priest, I never shared that with another person.
Okay.
That's me.
That's okay. No, I'm glad you're you.
Paul, go ahead.
Hi, Paul.
We always seem, at least I always seem to gloss over the part that says admitted to God. And I guess I got two questions related to that. One would be, is there a formal admittance to God, so to speak? And second, what is the value of that, knowing that he already knows, or she already knows?
Good question. I was preparing to do this step earlier. Well, my sponsor got a little ill and I had to go with another guy, and I had looked at that list, and because it says, even though it's kind of silly because God already knows, go through the process of letting him know this is my list. And not quite as specific as when I went through it out loud with another human. But it's also about admitting it to myself. And that helped make me realize that I belonged here. I wasn't quite right. And that I needed as much help as was available. And you guys told me that this was something you need to do. It says that in a lot of steps. You need to do this. And I just started following directions. And I'm so glad I did. I made it through the rest of the steps, and there was freedom. There was freedom after the rest of the steps. I started getting little tastes of it, to know that I'm not hooked to a bar stool, and I don't have to act like that, and lie like that anymore. I still occasionally tell a lie, just to stay in practice. In case it's ever needed, oh Jim.
It's like riding a bike.
Hey, this is serious stuff, man.
Good job.
Thank you. Look at this, man.